If you're looking to whet your appetite for engaging and informative talk radio, the lineup at the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network has exactly what you need. Shows like The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, Time Out with women's basketball legend Sylvia Crawley, Compassion Dakini, hosted by Kim Fung, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, the FSP Crew Show with co-hosts Jerry Black and the Joker, and the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show, all focus on the hot topics in sports, politics, and in life. By visiting fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com, you'll gain great insight into each program and host, access to the show's archive, as well as outstanding articles, photos, and a whole lot more. As well, because of its large and steadily growing following, fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com is a great place to advertise. Stop by today at fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore, Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes. Peace to you. Awesome. All you people out there, you know what time it is. Thursday, 8 p.m. East Coast time. Eastern Standard Time, that is. And I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. And this is the FSP Crew Show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637. Let me try that again. 347-637-3220. We'll also have a chat room open. If you would like to do a question, a comment, or make a statement in that chat room, you can do that also. As always, at this time of night, in this time of the week, in this time, I always have at least one co-host, and right now I have the Joker. Hopefully Black will absolutely join us too. But since it's just me and the other Jersey guy, as always, the two J's, J and J, Jeff the Joker. What's up, my man?
Hey, how's it going, Jerry?
Not bad. You know, it's a sad day. This is one of the icons. Jeff, we're going to start the show off talking about this guy. One of the icons of the NFL. One of the true characters. Not the old school, guys of the 60s and 70s in that time frame. We're talking about one David Deacon Jones, members of the Fearsome Foursome, the other members, Merlin Olsen, who's passed away, Lamar Lundy, who's also passed away, and the only surviving member, and happens to be 80. He's the oldest member, quite naturally. I can't believe.
Rosie?
Rosie Greer. I'm sorry. Wow. He's 80 years old. He was just on the NFL Network yesterday. Rosie Greer. And it's ironic. Each one of these guys died younger than the other one. So Deacon Jones is 74. I think Merlin Olsen died when he was in his 60s, if I'm not mistaken. Lamar Lundy was the first to go, and the oldest member, quite naturally, Rosie Greer, is still around and looks pretty spry from what I saw on the NFL Network. Deacon Jones, one who coined the frame sack, which defines how well a defensive end plays in year out, game in and game out, for that matter, and helped quite a few guys like Bruce Smith, Reggie White and others like that make their way into the Hall of Fame because they kept statistics on the sack. Your thoughts on Mr. David Deacon Jones?
Oh, I could do a whole show about the Deacon. He was one of the all-time greats, and if you ever get a chance, if anybody hasn't seen, you got to watch on NFL Films because, I mean, his play spoke for itself. He was dominating in his prime, and he's very colorful in interviews. He expresses himself very well. He's larger than life. He really was. I mean, he got into acting. He even was a singer. He did some singing. And I never heard it, but I heard he didn't embarrass himself. Mm-hmm. And he was doing some singing in the late 60s in, mostly locally in Southern California. And his backup band got discovered, and then they changed their name and became War, which was a really popular group in the 70s, and they had a bunch of hits.
Wait a minute, Jeff. That I didn't know. Tell
you
me that again.
You can look it up. Okay. And you can look it up on Wikipedia or whatever. The band War, in the late 60s, they were called Night Shift. They were backing up Deacon in the L.A. area.
Right.
And they got discovered by a record producer. And then they backed up Eric Burdon for a couple years. He was a singer from the Animals. And then after backing him up for a couple years, they just became War, without backing anybody up. And then, as you know, they had a whole bunch of hits in the 70s.
Really?
Yep.
I did not know that. See that? Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing.
But he was the Deacon, I believe it. And it's ironic. I don't know, it's not ironic, but one of his acting appearances, I mean, he was playing himself, was on the Brady Bunch, and on that he was talking about, somebody was saying that Peter Brady was a wimp because he was in the chorus, and then Deacon says, hey, I sing, I'm not a wimp. That wasn't BS, he really did sing, He didn't go into the, into the details, but the Deacon was a singer. And like I said, I haven't heard it, but I don't think his singing was that bad. And if it was, he probably scared the crowd into liking him,
Wow.
And, he was successful after football. He did some acting. He did commercials. Started his own nonprofit. And, he seemed happy with his life after football, which not everybody is.
Wow. And while we're at it, our esteemed other, the third wheel on this train happens to be up here. Welcome in, Mr. Bookie. What's up, Black?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Nothing much.
Hey, Black.
And Jeff, just to your point, I'm looking at an article on TMZ.com, and the headline of the article, it says, Founding War Members to Deacon Jones. Thanks for making us famous. Wow. I did not know that. Wow. Unbelievable. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah. The Jet Black, did you know that?
I did not know.
The band name at War. You've heard of War before, right?
Yeah, I've heard of War.
Yes. When Deacon Jones was Jeff enlightened me about this, that Deacon Jones used to sing in the California area, I guess in the local L.A. area. Is that what you're telling me, Jeff?
Yeah.
And the group that used to back him up was called, at the time, Night Shift. Well, that band progressed into the famous band called War. That's wow. Wow. That's a lot. I didn't know that. That's a good piece of trivia that a lot of people probably don't even know. A lot of people probably don't even know about that.
And
your thoughts, Black? We were talking about Mr. David Deacon Jones and his legacy. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, man, Deacon Jones, he predates my time, but I understand he was a hell of a football player, and I understand the term sack was coined by Deacon Jones, so I got to give the man props. He predates me.
Jeff, you had a point you want to make?
I mean, I could do an hour about Deacon. I mean, he retired before I was watching football, but I'm very familiar. He was very close with George Allen. When Deacon, you know, his best years with the Rams, Allen was the defensive coordinator.
Right.
And then he finished his career with the Redskins.
Right.
As, you know, when Allen had his Over the Hill gang. And back then, I heard a lot of players were closer with their coaches, maybe spent time off the field. And Deacon was a friend of the family, to the Allen family. And George Allen's daughter named one of her sons after Deacon.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It's unbelievable. I think, you know, there'd already been a George Allen Jr.,
right.
Maybe a George Allen III. So her first son she named after one of Allen's players who was, they were friendly with. She named her first son Roman. After Roman Gabriel.
Gabriel, yes.
That's right. And then Deacon gave her an earful about it, and he says, it's bad enough you named your son after an offensive player, but it's a quarterback.
Quarterback,
too.
Yeah.
So the next son she named after Deacon. And I don't think it was the intention, but there's almost like biblical significance in that because, you know, like with the 12 tribes of Jacob, there's no tribe of Joseph because, like, Joseph was the number one son, so they got two tribes named after Joseph, both of his sons, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And kind of like George Allen's daughter, instead of naming her son after dad, named two of her sons after two of his favorite players, you know?
Okay. Wow. Well, yeah, and it's ironic. One's a quarterback, and the other one is a defensive end that didn't like quarterbacks at all. That's pretty ironic. So,
and Deacon, he scored 1 point in the NFL. He kicked an extra point.
Really?
Allen did that. You know, I mean, Deacon was, you know, one of his quote favorites, and the players loved him. He wasn't just, you know, this old hard case. I mean,
right.
He did work the players hard. They don't deny it. But they said he'd always, you know, help them as much as they could with management, with contracts. He got them better accommodations for training camp when they're on the road, better food, et cetera, et cetera. All those things, he really cared about his players. And I think Deacon had done some kicking maybe in college or high school, and I think he said to George Allen, like, oh, you got to let me kick in a game, you know, something like that. And I think it was a blowout and, old straight-ahead style kicking. And the holder was Joe Theismann, and Theismann was really nervous because, Deacon was very big for his era, and to have that big shoe coming close to your finger can be a little scary for a quarterback, and Deacon got that extra point. But if sacks were officially recognized back then, he'd be third on the list behind Bruce Smith and the late Reggie White.
Okay, and one other thing that I wanted to I don't know if you knew this or not, Jeff. Also in this article I read about Deacon Jones and the two founding members of WAR thanking him for what he did for him. He supposedly sang in the studio recording that WAR made of "Why Can't We Be Friends."
Yeah, you know, and wow. it says a lot about him that he stayed on good terms with those guys. Because maybe, you know, someone else might have been offended, you know. I mean, yeah, he still had the great football career, but his music career didn't take off, you know.
Yeah. And to think this guy, and they had 14 rounds back then when he got drafted, was an afterthought at the 14th round, and he became one of the greatest defensive ends in the history of the NFL. That's unbelievable that – him coming from, I'm trying to think what school he came from, was a Southern school. You know, a lot of good players come from these Southern schools, these supposedly, in quote, nondescript colleges. Some of these teams, especially these teams back in the 60s and 70s, grab these guys from schools you never heard of, or schools that are now defunct or changed their name somewhere. He's an icon. Oh, you know what? This is what I wanted to say. I was listening to the NFL Network yesterday, and they had Michael Irvin and they had Warren Sapp on there, telling him about Deacon Jones. And during the time that Michael was talking about Deacon Jones, it brought tears to Warren Sapp's eyes, because they have a dinner called the Ray Niskey Dinner, luncheon or whatever it is, for all the Hall of Famers, including the new inductees. And Ray Niskey used to get up and give an inspiring speech to all the Hall of Famers, including the new inductees. Since Niskey passed away, they passed it over to Deacon Jones, and Deacon Jones, and he's supposed to have been pretty well known to have given a lot of inspirational speeches throughout the years at this luncheon. Well, this one luncheon, the 1 year that Michael Irvin got inducted into the Hall of Fame, he's saying that Michael Irvin, Deacon Jones, Fred Biletnikoff, and some other Hall of Famers had a some type of engagement in Las Vegas. So they jumped on a plane. And as the plane was taking off, now Michael Irvin is a Hall of Famer. And as the plane was taking off, he told Michael Irvin, "All right, young man, get up and start serving us drinks." And Michael Irvin looked around and said, "Wait a minute, I'm a Hall of Famer." He said this to himself. He didn't say it out loud to them. "I'm a Hall of Famer. I got five rings here, and he's telling me to get up and serve him drinks." And Michael Irvin says, "I served him drinks on the way to Las Vegas, and I served him drinks on the way to back from Las Vegas," meaning that Deacon Jones was well respected, and quite naturally, you had a bunch of older Hall of Famers, and he was the young buck of the group. So he paid his respect by being humbled and serving them drinks. And he also said that he feels bad for Warren, because he doesn't get the chance to hear that speech that Deacon Jones gives every year to the Hall of Famers there at the Ray Niskey luncheon. And when he said that, it brought tears to Warren Sapp. And when the tears started flowing, pretty much Warren couldn't stop from shedding a tear until the interview was over. I don't know if any of you guys saw that, but I think that was pretty I take notice of that, because it's a lot of respect and how much Deacon Jones was well respected throughout the NFL, including the all the Hall of Famers. I don't know if anybody saw that or not.
Did not catch that, but that's Michael Irvin did the right thing, because that's it wasn't like they were asking him to serve drinks to a bunch of bums. That's a very, very elite club.
Right.
And they say, you know, it's like a fraternity once you're inducted, and it's very selective. I mean, you could have an all-star team with all the guys waiting to get in.
Right.
Very, very selective. So, you know, you hear nothing about pride and good things about the guys who are in there.
Right. And I also have, as it's been the case for many weeks, and including this week, Macau jumping in on the conversation. Welcome, Macau.
What's up, sir? How about them Pacers?
Excuse me?
How about about them papers, Slim.
We'll talk. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Right now, we're talking about Deacon Jones. I don't know if you listened to the conversation. If you haven't, if you have any comments on the passing of Deacon Jones, or what your thoughts on Deacon Jones?
Deacon was man. You know, he's well respected. Shame they didn't count all his, you know, they weren't able to count all his sacks, you know,
mm-hmm.
because his sacks, you know, sacks weren't counted until 82. But in any case, you know, that guy is one of the greats. You know, he's like guys you do not talk bad about at all.
Oh, okay. Hold on a minute here, guys. I got issues going on here for a minute. Oof. All right.
It's time for you to serve us some drinks, then.
Hey, I'm the old man of the bunch. Who's the youngest one sitting up here, Black? Yeah, okay. Anyway, let's move on. And since Macau... he opened it up. We're going to talk about that game. Then we're going to talk about that series first before we move on to what's going to take place now. As everyone knows, Game 7 was between the Miami Heat and Indiana Pacers was on Monday, with the hope of the Miami Heat, the defending champions, moving on to face the Western Conference final champions, the San Antonio Spurs. Well, one team showed up. The other team stayed home for the most part. they had their best shot at home, and for some reason, it boggles my mind how a team can come out and play as flat and play as lifeless as the Indiana Pacers did on Monday night to make the Miami Heat win an easy 23-point win and propel themselves into the NBA Finals for the third year in a row. Mikal, since you jumped on here and jumped on that real quick, your thoughts before I pass it over to Jeff and Black about the same thing.
Man, it's going to be the same thing I said before. You know, it was going to come down to LeBron. You know, and he pushed those guys like he was supposed to. He facilitated as he was supposed to, and he scored as he was supposed to. He's the best player on the planet. When you got a guy like LeBron surrounded by players like Dwayne Wade, Bosh and them, and also Ray Allen, you're going to have a tough time. Any team is going to have a tough time with that team. The thing is, it's just LeBron has just got to get it in his head. That's the thing that just boggles my mind. He's got to get it in his head. In his head. I am the greatest player on the planet right now. For some reason, he waits for everybody else to tell him. Or he drowns himself in the adulation to believe, so he can believe it. But he don't need that, you know. And that's the thing. And that's the thing that bothers me about LeBron. It's like he's taking a little inch steps towards what he needs to do, and it's really dumbfounding to me, because I thought the first year they went, when they was going up against Dallas, I thought that he was ready then. He wasn't. Last year, he took steps down to get closer. You know, he trained with Akeem and started going down low, and lo and behold, they won a championship. Okay. So the strike started the season. Okay. So let's see if it's real. This year, he came back. They're showing that it's real. And I'm not taking anything from Indiana. Indiana played their heart out. They really did. But they just weren't ready for that game 7. You know, these guys really stepped up when it was time for them to step up. and I expect them to do so as well with the San Antonio Spurs. But this is going to be an extremely good matchup, an extremely good matchup. And you have a situation there where you're seeing a passing of such in a sport. You know, I would have loved to see, you know, LeBron and Kobe get down, but LeBron and Tim Duncan getting down, I'll take that any day. The Spurs will not lay down. They got the experience. You know what I mean? They've been in game sevens. They've been in different situations. I am really looking forward to this game tonight. It's going to be fun.
All right, Jeff.
You know, I guess clock struck 12 for Indiana, and you know, looking on to the finals, if everybody was healthy, which is not always the case late in the season, I really think Miami would be a very good bet. Not that I advocate betting, of course, but you know, with Miami being a little, you know, with Dwayne Wade being banged up, and you know, that rest I think helps out San Antonio a lot, and you know, Pop is such a great coach, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's going to be a close one. And if they win another one, that really cements LeBron's legacy. You know, I just, you know, as a fan, just you want to see a good series, you know, no matter who wins, and hopefully that'll be the case.
All right, Bookie, talk to me.
The Vegas line is 5.5 Miami. I see the Spurs keeping it a little bit closer than that, so I'll take the Spurs for the points. This is going to be a great, great series, as opposed to what everybody is saying. I think Tim Duncan is going to try to get his fifth and then just retire on LeBron. Miami, I like the team as a whole, but I don't trust Spoelstra in the clutch coaching against Pop. I don't trust it at all.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna ask a few questions here, and just get a idea of what who you guys think. The first question is, who faces the most pressure on the Spurs? Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan, up to big three. And then who faces the most pressure on the Heat, LeBron, Chris Bosh, or Dwayne Wade?
Nobody on the Spurs side is facing any pressure. They're playing with house money. They weren't expected to be here. Everyone had OKC. Everyone had the Lakers. So there's no pressure on the Spurs side. It all comes down to Miami, and if they can repeat. I think we're going to have to look real close at Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade in this series. Had a terrible series against Indiana, but they stepped up when they counted. They can't afford to do that against San Antonio.
All right. What about you, Jeff?
You know, I don't like to get into psychology too much for the pros, because I think they're pros. You know, they bring it every night, you know, at least the good ones do. If I had to guess in San Antonio, you know, Parker's the youngest one there. I mean, Duncan is already going into the Hall of Fame. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But Black's right. You know, I don't think they were expected to go this far. I think this is probably seen as some kind of last hurrah for them. I think in Miami, you know, because he's the one everybody looks at. He's the big cheese. It's probably LeBron, you know, because he's got to step it up with Wade, you know, banged up. You know, it goes more to LeBron. But, you know, he's proven he can carry the load. So should be interesting series. Two big threes. You got the big three in Miami, the big three in San Antonio. You don't see that too often. So you got the big six mixing it up.
Okay. What about you, Macau?
I think Dwayne Wade has the most pressure in this series, because it's going to come down to that knee, as it normally is for Miami. You know, that knee has got to hold up. He's got to figure out a way to play through it and play at the right times. and sink those shots that need to be sunken in, drive to the hole, or whatever he's going to do. He's under a lot of pressure, you know. In terms of which team has the most pressure, Miami is under the most pressure. Like Black said, San Antonio's playing with an enormous amount of house money. I mean, what, they got 3-4 rings already, and they wasn't even expected to be here. And I just think that the pressure is more so on Miami. But if you was to look at San Antonio, of course it's going to be speed. It's going to be speed. I just think it's definitely going to be speed. If these guys can get out here and run with them, not to say that San Antonio can't run. Miami, if they go small, not to say that San Antonio can't go small. I just don't think they're going to be able to match up with them when they go small. Remains to be seen what adjustments San Antonio would do, but I give them the better edge on adjustments and whatnot. I expect San Antonio to give Miami every bit of everything they can handle, and vice versa. So you could really just flip a coin and pick to see who's going to win this, because it's going seven. It would surprise me if this wraps up early in six or seven.
Okay.
I mean, 6-5, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jeff alluded to it a short time ago, and I'm going to pose this question. Okay? We got LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. We got Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker. Big three in San Antonio, big three in Miami. One's got one ring. The other one's got at least three rings. I think the Spurs have won with that group of three rings. Tim Duncan's got another ring with David Robinson. So, which big three, in your guys' opinion, and why, is better? Go to Black, then McCall, then Jeff.
Big three is better at this point, or better overall?
Which big three is better right now? Right now.
Oh, man. Jeez. You can't go against LeBron right now. I mean, four-time MVP so far. Just keeps racking up MVPs. I'm going to have to go with the Spurs. I mean, with the Miami big three at this moment. But I like the Spurs big three. I definitely like the Spurs big three. I like Tony Parker. I like Ginobili. And Duncan is just a consummate professional. But right now, at this second, I would have to take Miami big three.
Okay. Who's next? Batter up.
I'll go. I'll tell you, if Wade was healthier, I'd definitely go with Miami. It's a lot closer. Maybe I'd give Miami still a slight edge because of, in basketball, a lot of times it's who's got the best guy or who's got the two best guys or whatever. So I think the last series, Chris Bosh was spotted on some milk cartons, but maybe he might wake up his game for this time around. But, I don't know. I mean, Duncan might be close to retirement. You know, I could see almost like, you know, a John Elway situation, letting it all hang out for his last go-round. Who knows? But I don't know. I don't like to think about the psychology too much. You know, this is a business. These are the pros. These are the big boys, you know?
Mikal.
Man, is this even a question? I mean, it's a no-brainer. It definitely is Miami. It's definitely Miami's three. Right now, it's Miami's three. You know, if this was 2000, yeah, it would have, you know, the Spurs. back then. Or if you're just talking about overall, just, you know, looking at team to team, it's definitely, you know, Antonio over time. And, I mean, because the only thing which is very critical, in my opinion, San Antonio has is they have that experience. You know, it's no substitute for experience. They have it. But the big three, they have the most talented player on the planet. And you can't go against them. Like Black said, you can't go against LeBron right now. You can't.
Well, I can almost guarantee you, Mikhail, you'll probably be calling tomorrow. We have a special guest. I don't know if it's going to come up, but hopefully I'll have a chance to bring it up about the finals from tonight on the No Chaser show. I'm going to pose the same question to your boy, Mac Williams, and see what kind of answer I get from him. Because, you know, he's definitely not feeling LeBron any which way. So,
oh, and you know what? And I never got to put out there what his flaw is. His flaw is he fails to recognize talent. He fails to recognize talent. I think he's a good coach. You know what I'm saying? He got a good mind for it, but he don't recognize talent. He don't. He don't. If he go against LeBron, he's a fool. He's a fool right there. And let me tell you, I am not a LeBron James fan. I don't like the Heat. I like the Lakers. Lakers. You know what I'm saying? But
okay.
I cannot look at that basket and look at something with the Heat and not see LeBron being the best player on the planet. I just haven't seen. Unless Black can tell me somebody else who he is. You know what I'm saying? If it's some dude in some AAU league that I don't know about.
Oh, you talking about Mac?
Huh?
You talking about Mac?
What'd you say?
I said you were talking about Mac. I don't even know. Is he doing this?
Yeah, I'm talking about
Mac.
Yeah, I'm talking about Mac.
I know they got some games tomorrow. But the games might get rained out because of the... The rain is supposed to be on the way up here, so he probably will be on the show tomorrow.
Right, right. All right, let's move on to another basketball news that I cannot believe. I can and can't believe because I don't know if there's been a precedent of this ever happening before. I'm talking about the coach of the Denver Nuggets, George Karl, Coach of the Year. Is out as the coach of the Nuggets. I have never heard. I can't recall in recent times the coach of the year.
You can recall David Johnson in baseball.
Well, I'm talking about basketball. I'm talking about the coach of the year in basketball, taking his team over and over again to the playoffs. And he's coached this team for over 8.5 seasons, okay? And because from what I understand, he wanted an extension for one, and they weren't willing to give it to him. He's 61 years old, which is not real old for a coach, but they decided to go in a different direction and get rid of George Karl after he wins the Coach of the Year. Wow. I mean, he doesn't have a superstar on the team. For the most part, he doesn't like to really – he doesn't coach with a superstar on the team. He feels more comfortable with a bunch of spare parts. He did a heck of a job. I didn't think he coach of the year worthy, but he did a heck of a job bringing his team into the playoffs and doing as well as he did during the regular season. Your guys, give me some thoughts on the ouster or kicking out of George Karl from the Denver Nuggets.
Ted Leonsis and Ernie Grunfeld, please. Please make this one call. Is this any call that you make in life? Just make this one call. Check this call, please.
And
coming on up I-95 and taking a seat down there at Verizon Center. Making
no.
the calls with young John Wall and Bradley Beal and the fellas for the Washington Wizards.
No.
Come on, George Carl. Come on.
No. No.
Okay, we got defending D.C. guys saying yes and no for George Carl for the D.C. team.
The guy who's screaming no doesn't know what he's talking about. You want more Randy Whitman, you need I-95 yourself.
I don't want Randy Whitman either. I mean, Randy Whitman and George Carl ain't no big difference to me. They look the same to me. They look the same. You going to bring George Carl down the phone booth, man? Come on, man, really? This, you know what?
Really.
It's about 2 years too late. It's about 2 years too late. The dude had superstars, man. He done had all kind of superstars. He done had Chauncey. He done had Allen. He done had what's the boy from New York? Mello. He had Mello. You know what I'm saying, man? And he still couldn't get it done. He still couldn't get it done. You know what I'm saying? He came close with Peyton and Sean Kemp. Nah, man. He just can't get it done. I think it was 2 years overdue, man. Especially the way the NBA is shuffling out coaches. I think you know what? You know what the Buzzers need to do? They need to get rid of Ernie Grunfeld, man. He need to go.
He signed some type of lifetime contract. I don't believe he's going anywhere.
That's
what it seems like, because he can do no wrong in Wizards' eyes, accordingly. He does no wrong. Every mistake he's made is just a mistake that gets swept under the rug. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Okay.
I need him to make that call. You can have your Eddie Georges and Randy Whitmans and Wes Unseld. No. I need a guy with experience. I'm trying to go to some playoff games. I'm trying to buy some playoff tickets.
I mean, I feel you and all. I mean, you can call Susan O'Malley.
You're not feeling me at all.
You're not. I'm just giving you some advice. Go ahead and call Susan back. Bring her back.
Jeff, what do you got to say on the matter?
I'll tell you, it surprises me, but it doesn't, I mean, you think based on his winning percentage, it'd be enough to stick around. Probably one of the few criticisms of Carl as a coach is he never won a championship, but,
right.
Hey, there's been other good coaches who haven't won a championship. There's 29 other teams in the NBA. It's not easy, especially, when there's these other dynasties with great players like LeBron or Jordan, Kobe. It's not like it's up for grabs every year. There's a few teams looking for coaches, and someone should hire him. And, if I was a Denver fan, I wouldn't be too happy. But, it's a business. And, it's kind of like get a job sometimes. Sometimes you show up every day, you're on time, you do the job, and it ain't good enough for them,
mm-hmm.
And that's probably how George Carl feels. He won, and usually that's sufficient, but I guess he didn't win enough and whatever, and maybe it's not easy coaching a team like Denver without a star. Who knows, they could bring in another coach, and who knows, they could win 30 games next year. You don't know. And I don't know, I got the impression that Carl was a pretty good coach, and I think he'll find the job, and I hope he does.
But he has a very good regular season winning percentage or winning record, and exact opposite, I should say, in the playoffs. He has a losing record in the playoffs. Excuse me.
Has he ever been out of the first round in Denver?
Yes.
Went to the conference finals.
When Carmelo Anthony was there.
They went to the conference finals?
Yes.
Yeah. 09.
Yep.
What? Has Randy Whitman done that?
Anyway,
I'm not advocating for Randy Whitman. I'm advocating for Grunfield and a whole lot of them need to go. But, you know, he is better than Susan O'Malley. I give you that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to bring this guy in. I shouldn't say it like that. I'm going to bring this
person.
Oh, man. I'm going to bring this guy
in. What
the
intro?
I'm going to have to bring this guy in. We all know who he is. He's the co-founder of all our shows. He happens to be Mr. FSP. Let's give a good round of applause to Mr. Victor Gardner.
For real? We gonna go like that? I will cancel this joint and all y'all. You know what? That's okay. Anyway, I was listening to what you guys were saying, I'm gonna talk about the George Karl situation. He's gonna win wherever he's gone. You know, the thing is, his health is declining.
Vic, I don't care if his health is declining. You could bring in his dead ringer, John Lithgow. As long as George Karl is on the phone, calling plays out to him, I'll take him.
Now listen. Is there a rumor that he's supposed to be going to the Wizards?
I'm trying to start one now, man. I'm trying to be in for one.
Okay. All right. I mean, I wouldn't mind that. I think that if you bring George Karl in, you bring the opportunity for the Wizards to improve because he can run a three-guard system, depending on who the Wizards draft. I'm not even sure when the NBA draft is, but Brandon Beal and John Wall are good tandem. But unless they get a power forward in there, it doesn't matter who the coach is. You need a dominant power forward because Nene, he's good. He's good for boards. He's good for a little bit. But he's not the answer that they need as a force. So you can bring in.
I'm all about trading the three for DeMarcus Cousins right now.
Well, whatever it is they're going to do, I mean, I don't know, but you can have Phil Jackson in there, and without the talent, you're not going to win. And this is a contract year for John Wall, so you have to bring in the right coach because no matter how much money you throw at that guy, he might not stay. He might, you know, pull a Chris Paul and be like, well, if you trade me, I'm going to go to this team. I'm going to beast out for them, go to the playoffs, and not even consider you as a team to go back to. Chris Paul will never go back to the Hornets or the Pelicans or whatever they're called, even though he's a free agent and they drafted him. But George Karl or Randy Whitman, I like Randy Whitman as a upstart coach. Brian Shaw, if he doesn't get that job in New Jersey, I wouldn't mind seeing him coming down the turnpike to D.C. and bringing in a system and a winning attitude. So whatever the case may be, I think Karl, it's a good time for him to leave because the team is at a point where they need to take a coach that will get them to that next step. He's more like a Doug Collins, always the bridesmaid, never the bride type situation, in my opinion. So good luck to him. Denver will have not a tough job filling that coaching position because the team is stacked with talent. It's just how do they use that talent. That's the only thing.
All right. Well, let's progress on to national pastime. I'm going to name some names, and I'm pretty sure once I name these names, you guys are going to know what they have in common. Ryan Braun, Alex Rodriguez, Nelson Cruz, Johnny Peralta, Everett Cabrera, Bartolo Colon, Melky Cabrera, Robinson Cano, Gio Gonzalez, and there's a few more that are yet to be named. Can someone please tell me what those guys have in common besides playing baseball?
Can I take 100 game suspension for 1,000?
Well, it came out in the last day or so that Mr. Bosch, the owner of Biogenesis down in Florida, decided to cooperate with the Major League Baseball and is going to, for lack of a better word, rat out these Major League Baseball players. And for what I want to understand today, and I don't know how true it is, this guy went to Alex Rodriguez and asked him for a few hundred thousand dollars. I don't know if it was hush money or for his legal representation with Major League Baseball, and Alex Rodriguez turned him down. And then after he turned him down, he decided to go to Major League Baseball and says, "I'll cooperate." We got 8 minutes left in the show. I'm going to go around the horn with your guys' thoughts on this possible 100-game suspension for these players if they've had a second offense. First offense, maybe less. Second offense is definitely going to be 100 games. I'm going to go with Jeff, then Macau, Victor, and then Black.
You know, I'm still getting all the information on this. I heard things about this Bosch guy, and he sounds very sleazy. And Major League Baseball might not be paying him directly, but I heard they're picking up some of his expenses, you know, the legal fees, et cetera, et cetera. So even if they're not paying him directly, I get the impression that they're paying him. And if it ever gets to it, it might be a situation with Clemens. You know, you go to court, and even though Clemens was probably guilty of sin, the star witness was the sleaziest dude on the planet, you
mm-hmm.
know? And that's
mm-hmm.
the problem. And, if you know, I've had jury duty. If I was on a jury duty, I'm not convicting one sleaze based on the word of a bigger sleaze. It's not
right.
going to happen.
Right.
And this is who Major League Baseball is in bed with. Now, the players are fortunate because they got a union, and most people making that kind of money don't have a union. And it's insane that these teams sign these these mega bucks contracts, and they don't have a way to cover their butts after the fact. But that just goes to show you that the union wouldn't allow those kind of contracts. And Major League Baseball doesn't care. They just do this for public relations, you know, because they lost control of the game and it became dominated by steroid guys. So now, after the fact, you know, it's the witch hunt and whatever. And, you know, believe me, if the Yankees could, they'd get out of the A-Rod deal, but they can't. And,
right.
you know, you look at other guys making big bucks or gals making big bucks, movie stars, rock stars, rap stars, whatever. They don't have a union, you know? But they got the best of both worlds, in Major League Baseball. They got all that money plus a lot of protection, you know, very powerful union. So I'm curious how this thing's going to play out. But warning, this Bosch guy's a sleaze, and it might come into play.
All right. Who's up?
Major League Baseball needs to do something about this. They need to handle this better. I just don't know. I mean, because it seems like every other year the circus starts all over again. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't like we all stand, you know, have watched baseball or football, basketball. I can't tell you with absolute assurity that all of those things are clean on the football field. Or the basketball field, or the basketball court, or the baseball field, man. It's just gotten ridiculous, you know. And then you put yourself in the shoes of the athlete, you know what I mean? With you competing to get all these bucks, I mean, what you gonna do? What you gonna do, man? This has just got ridiculous, and this circus has got to stop. Oh. By the way, the highest-paid athlete in the world is a clean athlete, and every time he fights, he must have a drug test. Thank you very much.
not even talking about that sport. But I got to echo some of the sentiments of everybody on the phone that has said something about it. I'm going in particular to Ryan Braun. This cat beat a case against him.
Technicality.
On a technicality. So, you know, they're going to hammer this guy to the wall if they decide to do it. Jeff was saying, sleeve or no sleeve, the truth is the truth. And, like, everybody thought Jose Canseco was the biggest sleazeball in the world, and they thought he was such a liar. But he ended up being the most truthful person in the whole situation. And, yeah, he got his 15 minutes of fame, whatever it may be, but at the same time, this kid is shedding light and opening up a bag of worms that just won't be closed. This Bosch person, you know, believe it or not, he has that information, and A-Rod decided, you know what, I don't care, I'm not going to pay you no money. Extortion. A-Rod, suing for extortion then, A-Rod. You know, but this guy has proof, apparently, that he shot up a couple of these cats, or he provided some type of cream or whatever to some of these cats. Marion Jones, when she came on Sylvia's show the other day, she was talking about how the district attorney came to her with a queen for the day clause, meaning if you say nothing, I mean, if you tell the truth, nothing will be used against you and you won't be prosecuted. I think they're offering it to this guy, too. And the difference is he's telling the truth. You know, Marion went to jail because she didn't tell the truth, and they used that queen for a day clause against her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these cats, if they did the drug, fine, they did the drug. If they improved their game by doing this stuff, great. Own up to it, deal with the consequences. If they go after you for the money, hey, that's your fault, but you got caught. You know, you didn't say nothing when you signed that big contract, and you swore it was all good when it wasn't. So that's my thoughts on it. I'll leave some time for Mike and then for you. Go ahead.
Did Marion Jones play baseball?
You sir? What's that?
I didn't hear what you said, Mikhail.
I said, does Marion Jones play baseball?
She's a professional athlete.
Okay. That's all I wanted you to say. Thank you.
It don't matter. She's a PEU, performance enhancing drug.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh boy. Okay, Black, what do you got to say, Black?
I know you don't.
I'm waiting for all the facts to come out, but I am looking for somebody to bring my man Bryce Harper some HGH. Gotta get that back.
Well, on that note, unfortunately, you guys, I'm going to have to tell you that Bryce Harper is supposed to be going to see Dr. Andrews, which is not good. If he's going to see Dr. Andrews, hopefully he'll give him some good news because a certain person has him on his fantasy team, and I know he's crossing his fingers, hoping he's going to be well, because come the end of this week, meaning Sunday, when I kick his ass in fantasy baseball, he'll know he just got served.
Really? You're going to take the two PED players I got and my injured player and claim it as a good victory?
Oh, man.
You haven't won yet. Shut your potty mouth, because on Saturday's show, the league's calling in. We're going to hand you your ass, and then you're going to have mud all on your face. Slice it
you
all.
You know what? Let me go this route right now because I can see there was a few trades that were knocked down and vetoed. There was a whole big brouhaha in the Yahoo. Because of the fantasy baseball league, and I decided to rant and I decided to tell the truth, which I did, and now. Victor has conspired to get the whole league on Saturday to come at me, which is fine. Huh?
I have not conspired. What are you talking about? I didn't conspire to do anything. And Andrew got into it, and then he said, "Let me come on the show and teach you something about baseball." And then you threw everybody under the bus. So, hey, I love the promotion. You're getting those guys to come on the show. I love the fact that you did it.
Wait a minute. I told the truth exactly how it was. And you tell me anything I said that was wrong. Tell me anything I said was wrong. We can carry this over into Saturday. But everything I said on the air on Saturday, two Saturdays ago, whatever it was, and I think I said some of it on a follow-up on Sunday, was exactly the truth. Between the texts and between whatever was on the message board, it was exactly what I said. So there was nothing bogus to what I said. It was all in black and white of what other people have said, and I just brought it out to light. That's all I did.
No, but you splashed in a lot of your opinion, you know.
Absolutely, but what I said was the truth. The truth will set you free. You can't handle the truth.
Jerry, you're wasting your time. Truth and light is just, those are just foreign things to my cousin. Very foreign. Very foreign.
Victor, I've known you've been keeping quiet for the last week because you're ready. You're gearing up for on Saturday, which is fine. I was surprised you came on today, but which is fine. So all I got to say to anybody who's in the league, including Victor, I'll be ready on Saturday with both guns ready to take on whoever wants to take me on. No problem.
Well, it depends on what we're going to do Saturday. But if they call in, we'll go that route. But I want to talk about the division, start talking about promoting fantasy football leagues and the division and things of that nature. However, fantasy baseball is going to be a big topic, as well as whatever's going on in the world of sports. We got the top 100 players going on. Either Gronkowski or Jimmy Graham aren't in the top 100. My vote is for Jimmy Graham because he had an off year, because the Saints had an off year. But stuff like that I want to talk about. But I want to let you and Andrew go head-to-head since he said he has knowledge. You say you have knowledge. Shane went at you and said, he used that line, "Why are you mad, bruh?" He used Sherm's line. He came up to you and said, "Are you mad, bruh?" or whatever it was he said. So I'm going to let y'all go at it. And if you seem to get the best of them, then I'll jump in and slap you around a little bit. So
You can't slap me around. You know, whatever. It is what it is. I don't know where you guys are from, but you're messing with Jersey. So whatever you want to bring it on. Bring it on.
Wise guy. Hey, Black, are you going to are you recruiting? Are you replacing folks in the other league or no?
Oh, everybody wants a piece of that league. I got to see who I'm leaving in and who's the pot.
Okay.
Everyone's trying to get in there.
I just wanted to know. All right.
I'm going to go around the horn because we're a little bit over time, which is fine. And you guys get your little piece of the action before we get out of here. I'm going to go to Macau first, promote his show, and lay down whatever he wants to lay down, and then Black, then Jeff, Victor, and then I'll end it.
Shout out to the buzzer. Hopefully they'll get a call. You know what I'm saying? Call somebody to help them out because they need help. Check out my show, Grows on the Real Talk, each and every Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or you can visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/Grows. So we get it in every day. Check us out.
Oh, man. John Lithgow, George Carl, even one I'll take on the Washington sideline. Oh, man, I'm searching for the HGH guy. I got to flip some to Bryce. Might actually have to flip some to Strasburg as well, but that's a whole other story. But enjoy the game tonight. I hope there's no flopping. If it is flopping, this game will get cut off in like 2 seconds. So enjoy the game tonight.
All right, Jeff?
Got to give Black credit. That John Lithgow had me cracking up before. And you guys might have heard that a famous actor coaches the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes, Omar Epps is head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That was funny.
On that note, gentlemen and listeners, have a great week. Catch you next Thursday.
All right, Victor, the floor is yours.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening to Fantasy Sports Politics Crew Show, hosted by JT, Jeff, as well as Michael Wright, a.k.a. Black. He got a new Cadillac type of laptop, hopefully. So he's our beat reporter. Show him love. We're trying to be legitimate so we can get in some real places. So suit and tie, that's what he got on, keeping it real. We also want to promote that website of ours, fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. We're going to switch it over to our personal domain real soon, so check that out. If you want to advertise with us, by all means, drop us a line. Our rates are very inexpensive, but we'll get you on there if you want it. I want to say to all those that play fantasy baseball, football, whatever, we offer those to you. Play against the master. Play against FSP. Play against Black. Even the Jersey Connect over there, Jeff and Jerry, you know, we're here for you. On a side note, I'm going to kick your ass, old man. Put your Jericho in, raise the pen, get your Viagra, because you're going to need it once I'm done with you. I'm not playing. My team is down, but we are never out. I didn't bet you this week because I saw all the trouble coming and
Rewind. You didn't take a bet?
I didn't make a wager.
The betting man himself?
I did not make a wager because I was trying to get on Ryan Braun.
Going soft, dude.
Nah.
He punked out.
I didn't punk out. There was never nothing on the table.
He punked out.
But I guarantee you, like I told him in all our fantasy football leagues, every league we got that he's in, I'm betting them every week. And we're going to go, we paying at the end of the week. We ain't waiting until the end of the season. So he's going to pay me a bunch of money at the end of every week that I play him. Five leagues, that's a lot of money, JT. Cash is your Social Security check. I'm taking it.
With that being said, I want to thank all you for joining me tonight. My two co-hosts are always here, Black and Jeff. I want to thank Victor for joining us. Thank Mikhail for joining us. Tune in next week.
Hey, sir. I want to say, Victor is not a representation of our family. We do not take people's Social Security checks. You know, we don't do things like that.
And guess what? Victor doesn't either. So I mean, I just let him talk.
Oh, for real?
He doesn't either. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's just out of air.
Which is nothing new because Victor, that's his middle name is Hot Air. So it is what it is.
For real.
So Victor, for real. Anyway, with that being said, there's a couple things I want to say. For those of you who have been preaching this, Game of Thrones was a heck of a Sunday night. I don't know if anybody who's been watching it has watched Game of Thrones, but this past Sunday was a crazy show. There's only one episode left this Sunday, be the final episode for this season, which is season 3. I've been talking about this before. I say it again. This is the third season. It's about to end up. It's not worth jumping in the middle, so you can always get season 1. Watch the whole season. It's 10 episodes. It's 10 episodes in season 2, and it's 10 episodes in season 3.
Did Midget die last week?
Yes. Some big characters died last week. Yes.
I got to admit, I do this thing called binging now. I binge watch things.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of
kind of waiting for the joint to finish up the third season that I watch all of them.
Right.
You know, I can't, like, well, I can't do the week-to-week stuff. No, more, I can't do it. I can't
right.
do it.
Right.
I can't. Netflix has destroyed me. Destroyed me, man. I have to watch, like, an entire season or two or three seasons in one weekend or something.
Well, I've done that. And trust me, once you start watching this, you can't wait to watch the next season or the next episode because it'll hook you. I don't normally talk about a lot of programs, especially series, from week to week, but this is one that's got me hooked from season one, and this is the third season I've been watching. So I've been watching it for the last 3 years, and I haven't missed an episode. If you've missed an episode in season three, you can always watch it. If you have HBO, you can go on HBOGo.com to watch it. And as long as you're a subscriber, you can watch it online, any episode that you missed. So
are they paying you? Because you keep mentioning it every week.
No, like I said, it's not a, I'm not the type of person that promotes programs, but this is one of the most outstanding programs I've seen in years. It's well written. It goes from one episode to the other and leads. It's got so many different storylines. It's amazing to see what takes place from one week to the next, from one season to the next, and the most unexpected things happen from week to week. A few major characters got blown away, and for lack of a better word, this past week, which. Whoever saw it coming, I didn't see it coming, and a lot of other people didn't see it coming. So, I just can't wait to see what the finale has in store. So, with that being said, tune in tomorrow. Mac and I, and I've been ever since I've been talking. We have a special guest, the CEO of. I forget the. I'm sorry. We have a special guest tomorrow on the No Chaser Show. Excuse me?
Send me a promo so I can do something with it, bro.
Yeah, I thought Mac may have sent you one. I'm trying to find it here. Anyway, we do have a special guest, and I apologize for not knowing what the special guest is. But tune in tomorrow. You'll be pleasantly surprised on who it is. And 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the place to be for No Chaser with Mac Williams as the host and me as the co-host. With that being said, what are you talking about, Victor?
No, the commercial will be ready tomorrow.
Okay, just email them and we'll go from there. With that being said, I want to thank you guys, like I said before, and Victor, you know what time it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, for all of us here at Fantasy Sports and Politics. You know what you've been listening to.
Yeah. Mr. Anchor. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on.